කතානායකරයා විසින් කරන ලබන නිවේදන honorable members by the mandate vested on me under standing order 273 of the standing order of parliament in determining whether a notice in respect of any motion by a member of parliament be included in the order book for answer I hereby make a statement concerning a motion submitted by 31 members of parliament including honorable Sajith Premadasa honorable RM Ranjit Mawaduma Bandara honorable Dayasri Jayasekara honorable Gayanta Karunathilaka honorable Ajith P Perera honorable DV Chanaka honorable Dilip Jayaveera honorable Rishad Badudin honorable Sanikyan Rasamanikyam and Honorable Chamar Sampath Disanayake on 21st of November 2025 hereafter the motion. The motion thus submitted calls for an appointment of a select committee of Parliament to examine the powers exercised by the Judicial Service Commission in relation to the appointment, promotion, transfer, dismissal and disciplinary control of judicial officers. Given the serious legal and doctrinal issues raised by the motion and the potential implications therein, I wish to make a statement detailing reasons for my determination under Standing Order 273. At the outset, it need to be noted that a similar ruling was issued for the first time in parliamentary history on 20th of June 2001 by the then Speaker of Parliament, Honorable Andra Bandaranaike. The ruling in 2001 concerned an order issued by the Supreme Court restraining the Speaker from appointing a select committee of parliament regarding a motion for the impeachment of the then Chief Justice. While the factual circumstances evaluated in the 21 ruling are not comparable to the facts of the instant occasion, I believe the motion submitted by some of the honorable members of parliament on 21st of November 2025 presents an equal momentous opportunity to reassert the commitment of this House to the doctrine of separation of powers. While the 2001 ruling concerned the Speaker's role in facilitating the appointment of a parliamentary select committee and raised in the issues of whether the judiciary could control such an exercise, the present motion raises the opposite question: should the Speaker and by extension Parliament be permitted to control the judiciary's power by creating an oversight mechanism for the Judicial Service Commission, JSC? Before embarking on answering this question, I wish to outline the content of the motion submitted on 21st of November 2025. The motion calls for the appointment of a select committee of parliament to inquire into powers of appointment, promotion, transfer, dismissal and disciplined control of judicial officers exercised by the Judicial Service Commission and to compile a report assessing the following issues. First, the exercise of powers by the JSC in relation to all appointments, promotion, transfers, dismissals and disciplinary control of judicial officers during the period beginning from the 1st of January 2025 to present. Second, whether such appointments, promotions, transfers, dismissals and disciplinary controls have been conducted according to the Constitution, principles of natural justice and other such relevant laws or guidelines of the JSC. Whether reasons have been recorded and intimated to the judicial officers concerned within the names, means of law and without bias. whether prior to a decision on the transfer, dismissal or disciplinary control of judicial officers, discussion with such judicial officers were facilitated. Whether in making decision on appointment, promotion, transfer, dismissal and disciplinary control of judicial officers, the Judicial Service Commission took into account extraneous consideration. If so, the impact of such consideration on judicial independence, the administration of justice and public confidence in the judiciary. Recommendation for the constitutional and statutory amendments, administrative guidelines, appeal mechanism to counter irregular appointments, promotion, transfer, dismissal and disciplinary control through the JSC. A cursory glance over the said objective of the motion reveals that the proposed select committee of parliament is exercising what essentially is an oversight function of the JSC and its operations. By scrutinizing the JSC's decision on the appointments, promotion, transfer, dismissal and disciplinary control, the proposed committee would be intruding into the operational sphere of the judiciary, which is the very essence of an oversight function. The role of oversight structurally presupposes a hierarchical relationship. A regulator possessing the power to review, direct or correct the action of another. This gives rise to two integral questions. What is the nature and character of the mechanism, in this case the JSC, thought to be regulated, and is such regulation in compliance with the law and spirit of the Constitution of the Republic? In answering the first question, first I would like to refer to the introduction of the JSC by the 17th Amendment to the Constitution and 19th Amendment to the Constitution and its character. Chapter 15A of the Constitution, titled the Judicial Service Commission, was first introduced by the 17th Amendment to the Constitution. The same chapter was later substituted by the 19th and 21st Amendment to the Constitution. As it stands today, Article 111D of the Constitution provides for the establishment of the JSC, consisting of the Chief Justice, the Chairman of the JSC, and the two most senior judges of the Supreme Court appointed by the President, subject to the approval of the Constitutional Council. Article 111H sets out the powers of the JSC to include the powers to appoint, promote, transfer, exercise disciplinary control and dismiss judicial officers. Article 111K further set out the JSC's immunity from legal proceedings, and Article 111L explicitly makes interference with the decision of the JSC an offence. From both its composition and its conferred functions, it is my opinion that the operation of the JSC are attributable to an exercise of judicial power of the people as envisioned under Article 4C, read with the Article 3 of the Constitution. The JSC forms an integral part of the judicial branch of the government and not an administrative body subordinate to either executive or the legislature. Entrusted with authority over appointments, promotion, transfer, disciplinary control and dismissal of all judicial officers of the Republic, the JSC functions as an institutional extension of the judiciary itself. The JSC's power exercised through the highest judicial leaderships, i.e. through the Chief Justice, affirm that the Commission's role is properly attributable to the judicial arm of the government. By careful consideration of Article 111D, 111H, 111K, 111L of the Constitution, it is clear that the establishment and functioning of the JSC constitutes a part of the judicial arm of the government and an exercise of the judicial power of the people. Additionally, under Chapter 7A, the Constitutional Council, Article 41C, set out that no person shall be appointed to the JSC by the President without the approval of the Constitutional Council recommendation. The chapter further refers to other commissions whose appointments are made upon the recommendation of the Constitutional Council. Article 41B explicitly refers to a list of commissions which are answerable to Parliament. However, the JSC has not been mentioned therein. This omission underscores that the JSC, as an extension of the people's judicial power, stands independent of the executive and the legislature. Therefore, in answering the first question, what the motion seeks to regulate is an exercise of the judicial power of the people. Next, the issue for determination is whether Parliament, through a select committee, can exercise oversight over the JSC and its operations, namely the exercise of the judicial power of the people. The guiding principle in answering these questions is the doctrine of separation of powers. The doctrine of separation of powers states that the state's principal organs, the executive, legislature, and judiciary, are to be constituted as separate and autonomous entities. One of the earliest and clearest statements of the separation of power was given by Montesquieu in 1748, the Spirit of Law. When the legislature and executive powers are united in the same person or in the same body of magistrates, there can be no liberty. There is no liberty if the power of judging is not separated from the legislative and executive. There would be an end of everything if the same man or the same body were to exercise those three powers. The doctrine of separation of powers is enshrined in the Constitution of Sri Lanka vis-à-vis Article 3, Article 4. Article 3 of the Constitution provides in the Republic of Sri Lanka sovereignty is in the people and is inalienable. Sovereignty includes the power of government, fundamental rights, and the franchise. The manner in exercising such power is expressed in Article 4. The sovereignty of people shall be exercised and enjoyed in the following manner. A. The legislative power of the people shall be exercised by Parliament, consisting of elected representative of the people and by the people at a referendum. B. The executive power of the people, including the defense of Sri Lanka, shall be exercised by the President of the Republic, elected by the people. C. The judicial power of the people shall be exercised by the Parliament through courts, tribunal, and institutions created and established or recognized by the Constitution or created and established by law, except in regard to matters relating to the privileges, immunities, and powers of Parliament and of its members, wherein the judicial power of the people may be exercised directly by Parliament according to law. D. The fundamental rights which are by the Constitution declared and recognized shall be respected, secured, and advanced by all the organs of the government and shall not be abridged, restricted, or denied, save the So in the manner and to the extent hereinafter provided, and E, the franchise shall be exercisable at the election of the President of the Republic and of the members of the Parliament and at every referendum by every citizen who has attained the age of 18 years and who, being qualified to be an elector, as hereinafter provided, has his name entered in the register of electors. To that end, the Supreme Court in Jatika Sevaka Sangamaya versus Sri Lanka Hadabima Authority 2015 1 SLR 258 spoke of the doctrine of separation of powers as follows. There are three distinct functions involved in a government of a state: legislative, executive and judicial functions. Those three organs are constitutionally of equal status and also independent from one another. One organ should not control or interfere with the powers and function of another branch of government and should not be in a position to dominate the others. The doctrine of separation of powers is enshrined in Article 4, read with Article 3 of the Constitution. Article 3 is linked with the Article 4. In the same judgment, the Supreme Court refers to the Article 116 of the Constitution as a recognition of the independence of the judiciary, certain safeguard which enable judicial officers to perform their powers and function without any interference. Speaking on Article 111c, the judgment goes on to quote Article 111c of the Constitution is a manifest intention to ensure the judiciary is free from interference whatsoever. At this juncture, it is pertinent to pause and reflect on the framing of Article 4C of the Constitution, which provides the judicial power of the people shall be exercised by Parliament through courts. In fact, the motion refers to the responsibility of Parliament to allocate funds from the consolidated fund to facilitate the operation of the JSC and ensuring requirement of ensuring the transparent and accountable expenditure of such an allocation. However, it is my opinion that Parliament's custody of public purse entrusted by the people in trust confers fiduciary responsibility but not hierarchical supremacy and cannot justify an automatic encroachment on the constitutional separation of powers and form a derogation of the independence of the judiciary. In fact, Constitution provides only one permissible avenue for review of JSC decision, resorting to the fundamental right jurisdiction under Article 126 of the Constitution, read with the Article 17 of the Constitution. Moreover, in this House, in the House of Commons, it is well established constitutional convention that judicial independence prohibits any form of political accountability being imposed on judges. Consistent with the constitutional principle set out in Erskine-May parliamentary practice and grounded in the doctrines of judicial independence and separation of powers, the legal position is unequivocal. The establishment of such committee would be unconstitutional and contrary to the long-standing parliamentary practice. Erskine-May further states that judicial independence is a fundamental constitutional convention and parliamentary action must not be impaired judicial independence. Placing the judiciary before a select committee, a political body, would subject judges or judicial administrators to political scrutiny, thereby undermining the essential independence required of the judicial branch. scheme state that the courts and parliament are separate and independent organs of government. Neither house may exercise judicial power, nor may they review, supervise or control judicial acts. The administration of the judiciary, including appointments, discipline, case assignment and internal governance, is an inherent part of the judicial independence. Therefore, it abundantly shows that the parliamentary scrutiny into administrative decision of the judiciary would breach the constitutional separation of powers. This proposition is further supported by authoritative English decision, notably M versus Home Office 1994 1 AC 377 and DuPont Steels Limited versus SERS 1981 WLR 142, which unequivocally reaffirm the doctrine of separation of powers and the constitution imperative of preserving the judicial independence. Even in the Sri Lankan constitution, unlike in the United Kingdom, the principle of separation of powers is expressly and unequivocally recognized as a foundational constitutional doctrine. The apex court of the Sri Lanka have repeatedly affirmed this position. In Premachandra vs. Major Montagu Jayavikrama 1994 to SLR 90, the Supreme Court underscored that the separation of powers embodied in Article 3 and 4 constitutes fundamental features of the Constitution, and that neither the executive nor the legislature may usurp or encroach upon judicial power. Chief Justice Sarvananda emphasized that each organ of government must function strictly within the bounds set by the Constitution, rendering any form of parliamentary supervision over judicial administration unconstitutional. Similarly, in Viswalingam versus Lienage 1983, 1 SLR 203, although the issue concerned contempt, the court reiterated that judicial independence is an indispensable constitutional postulate and that the judiciary cannot be subjected to pressure, influence or control by the other branches of government. This principle was reaffirmed in many reported cases, where the Supreme Court held that the judiciary must remain entirely free from any form of investigation or interference by the executive or legislature, noting that the protection of judicial independence is essential for safeguarding the sovereignty of the people. This is further reinforced by in many reported Supreme Court cases where the court held that the JSC enjoys excessive constitutional authority over judicial administration. The following passages of recently concluded judicial officers tax case CA Reed 35/2023/36/2023 and 73/2023 CA Minute 27 November 2023 explain that sovereignty belongs to the people under the Constitution and its exercise through the executive, legislature and judiciary must operate within the strict separation of powers, ensuring strong legislative and executive authority while preserving judicial independence, so that each branch uses its powers responsibly without overreach for the well-being of society. It is stated that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and as per Article 3 of Constitution, sovereignty lies in the people and is inalienable. Sovereignty includes the government. Thus, the power of the people is exercised through the three pillars of the government, namely executive, legislature and the judiciary. Therefore, the judiciary is only one such pillar of the government which exercise the judicial power of the people. The regulation of taxation by law passed and implemented by the three pillars of government serves the best interest of the society. However, the efficacy of fulfilling such a task lies in the principle of separation of powers enshrined within the Constitution. As the learned DSG states in his submission, the legislature has the purse, the executive has its sword, and the judiciary has the public confidence. Through akin to slogan, it's aptly described the separation of powers within the government system. Accordingly, the three branches of the government are to operate independently from one another, and there shall be no interference of one in the other. There shall only be checks and balances between three branches. This principle, which is provided by the Constitution, safeguards the independence of the judiciary in a delicate balance. Contemporary society is constantly changing, with the new social upheavals and challenges arising every day. To effectively solve these problems and guarantee positive change, those in power must equip with the necessary tools and authority to do so. This means that the legislative and executive powers of the government must have adequate and far-reaching powers, free from unnecessary obstruction or interference. It is important to remember that these powers are given to them by the people, and with this trust comes the expectation that they will use their power responsibly with the sense of justice and for the betterment of people. The independence of the judiciary should be preserved without any obstruction, hindrance or interference. The judiciary plays a vital role in ensuring that justice is served fairly and impartially, and any interference with their independence could be compromise the integrity of the judicial system. A delicate balance ought to be struck between both these points for the adequate functioning of society. While exercising their powers, all three branches of the government may experience a sense of satisfaction, but they must also remember that using their powers excessively or unjustly is not acceptable. The saying, "It is excellent to have a giant strength, but it is tyrannous to use it like a giant." William Shakespeare, in his play Measure for Measure, Act 2, Scene 2, serves as a reminder that those in power must be mindful of the impact of their action on society and the use of their powers for the great good rather than for personal gain or to oppress others. Building on the jurisprudential outline above, it is evident that the independence of the judiciary is firmly established and safeguarded under the doctrine of separation of powers. Accordingly, JSC, whose function reflects the exercise of the people's judicial power, enjoys the same protection against encroachment by the legislature or the executive. Having examined the JSC as an extension of the people's judicial power and the limits imposed by the doctrine of separation of powers for the protection of such exercise, I now turn to my duty under Standing Order 27(3). The motion before me seeks a resolution of Parliament to appoint a select committee to oversee the JSC's functionality and operations. Understanding Order 27(3), I, as a speaker, hold the discretion to decide whether such a motion should be placed on the order paper to rule it either in order or out of order. In exercising this discretion, I must determine whether the object of the motion align with the constitution of the republic. In my opinion, any motion in this exercise of the legislative power that encroaches on the exercise of the people's judicial power, threatening the doctrine of separation, is an affront to the constitution of the republic. As such, for the following reason, I find the motion submitted on 21st of November 2025 to appoint a select committee of parliament to examine the powers of the Judicial Service Commission in relation to the appointment, promotion, transfer, dismissal and disciplinary control of judicial officers out of order. First, the function and purpose of the Judicial Service Commission embody the exercise of the people's judicial power and therefore enjoy the constitutional protection of judicial independence. And second, the constitution does not permit parliament to encroach upon that the power by exercising oversight over the Judicial Service Commission's operations. This prohibition is reinforced by the doctrine of separation of powers enshrined in Article 3, read with Article 4 of the Constitution, and the 3, the custody of the public purse entrusted to Parliament by the people in trust confers fiduciary responsibility but not hierarchical supremacy and cannot justify encroachment upon constitutional separation of powers. And the Constitution does not provide the Parliament the authority to inquire into, supervise or review the function or decision of the Judicial Service Commission. The appointment of select committee of Parliament to examine matters pertaining to the Judicial Service Commission would be derogation of the independence of the judiciary and thereby derogation of the judicial power of the people. I extend my sincere appreciation to all honourable members of this House for their patient and attentive hearing of this lengthy ruling, which I believe will stand as a landmark in the parliamentary history of Sri Lanka, strengthening our parliamentary tradition and the dignity of the August Assembly. Thank you. Vipilekanadi Piliganima, Garu Agramati.
Point of order.
Garu Mantri Tuma Mukadama, point of order.
අපේ විනාඩි කීපයක් දෙන්න
පුළුවන් විදියට
මම ගන්න ඉස්සෙල්ලම විශේෂයෙන්ම ආණ්ඩුක ව්‍යවස්ථාවේ 4 වෙනි වගන්තිය ඔබතුමාගේ අවධානයට මම යොමු කරනවා විශේෂයෙන්ම
ඔබතුමාට මම රූලින් එක
දීලා තියෙනවා ආණ්ඩුක ව්‍යවස්ථාවේ 4 වෙනි වගන්තිය බොහොම
පැහැදිලිව ඔබතුමාට මම රූලින් එක දීලා තියෙනවා ඔබතුමාට මම රූලින් එක ලබා දී ඇත ලිපි ලේඛන ආදී පිළිගැනීම ඔබතුමාට මම රූලින් එක ලබා දීලා තියෙනවා ඔව් දැන් රූලින් එක දුන්නට පස්සේ ඒ සම්බන්ධයෙන් කතා කරන්න ඕනේ ආයෙ කතා කරන්න බෑ සභානායකතුමා
අපි මේ සම්බන්ධ ගරු කථානායකතුමනි මුලින්ම අපි අගය කරනවා මේ ඉදිරිපත් වෙච්ච ඉතාම වැදගත් ප්‍රශ්නය පිළිබඳව පුළුල් අධ්‍යයනයකින් ඔබතුමා නියෝගයක් ඔබතුමාගේ නියමයක් ලබා දීම පිළිබඳ ඒ නිසා ගරු කථානායකතුමනි අරු කථානායකතුම මම කියන්න කැමති සාමාන්‍ය මම ඔබතුමාගෙන් කරුණාවෙන් අහුම්කන් දෙන්න කියලා ඉල්ලා සිටිනවා කරුණාවේ එකක් තමයි ඔබතුමා රූලින් එකක් දුන්නාට පස්සේ ඒක විවාදයක් කරගන්න බෑ ඉස්සරණ එකක් නමුත් මම කියන්නේ මේමයි නමුත් මම කියන්න කැමති සාමාන්‍යයෙන් අධිකරණයට බලපෑම් කරන්න වැඩිපුර උත්සාහ කළ තිබෙන ඉතිහාසය ආණ්ඩු පක්ෂ අද මෙතන මොකද තිබෙන්නේ අද අධිකරණය ගැන හොයන්න බලපෑම් කරන්නේ මෙයා ඒ නිසා ඔබතුමා රූලින් එකක් දුන්නට පස්සේ ගැන විවාදයක් කරන්න බෑ ඒ නිසා එතන පොයින්ට් ඔෆ් ඕඩර් එකක් නැහැ කරු කතා නැහැ කිතු
ගරු අජිත් පිපෙරා
කරු කතා නැහැ කිතුමනි ඔබතුමා සඳහන් කරා 2001 වසරේ අනුර බණ්ඩාරනායක ගරු කථානායකතුමා පාර්ලිමේන්තුව සතු උත්තරීතර භාවයේ සහ ඒ අයිතිය ස්ථාවර කිරීම ගැන. අත වශයෙන්ම ඔබතුමා අද ඉදිරිපත් කරපු මේ නියෝගය මගින් ඉතාම විස්තරාත්මකයි මේ නියෝගය මගින් කළේ පාර්ලිමේන්තුවට ආණ්ඩුක්‍රම ව්‍යවස්ථාවේ 4 ඈ වගන්තිය ප්‍රකාරව පාර්ලිමේන්තුව තමයි අධිකරණ බලයේ තියෙන්නේ. පාර්ලිමේන්තුව ඒ අධිකරණ බලය ක්‍රියාත්මක කරන්නේ
අධිකරණය හරහා.
එතකොට ඒක අධ්‍යයනයකින් තමයි. ඔබතුමා කරන්නේ ඒ බලය යටපත් කිරීම. අනුර
බණ්ඩාර
බලය යටපත්
ගරු කථානායකතුමනි
ඔබතුමා වැරදි
ඔබතුමාගෙන් ගෞරවයෙන් ඉල්ලනවා.
ඔබතුමා
ගරු කථානායකතුමනි ඔබතුමාගෙන් ගෞරවයෙන් ඉල්ලා ඉස්සල්ලා අනුර බණ්ඩාරනායක මහත්තයාගේ
විනාඩියක් ලබා දුන්නා විනාඩියක් ලබා දුන්නා
විනාඩිය දෙන්න හැබැයි
ගරු ගායන මන්ත්‍රීතුමා
දෙන්න මගදී කඩන්න එපා
විනාඩිය
දෙන්න කථානායකතුමනි අධිකරණයට පාර්ලිමේන්තුවට සහ විධායකයට දීලා තියෙන ජනතාවගේ පරමාධිපත්‍ය බලය මේ තුනේ මොකක් හරි ගැටලුවක් තියෙනවා නම් ඊට මැදිහත් වෙන්න තමයි මහජනතාව ජනතා නියුක්ත හැටි අපි පත් කළේවල තියෙන්නේ. ඒ මහජන යුතුකම ඉටු කරන්න තමයි අපි මේ කමිටු ඉල්ලුවේ. ඔබතුමා ඒක ප්‍රතික්ෂේප කරනවා කියන්නේ ජනතා පරමාධිපත්‍යයට එරෙහි වීමක්, ඒ වගේම ආණ්ඩු ක්‍රම ව්‍යවස්ථාවේ සඳහන් අයිතිවාසිකම් වලට විරුද්ධ වීමක් කියන එක. ඒකේ වගකීම
ඔබතුමාට මේ මතය දැරිය හැකි. නමුත් මගේ රෝල් ඉන්න එක ඔබතුමා හරි කියලා. ලිපිලේකන ආදිය පිළි
ක්‍රියාවලිය තුළ අපිට කතා කරන්න තියෙන කාරණාත් මම ඒකයි මේ රීති ප්‍රශ්නයක් මතු කරේ කරු කතානායකතුමනි. පළවෙනි කාරණේ අපේ අජිත් පෙරමැතිතුමා කිව්වා ජනතාවගේ පරමාධිපත්‍ය පිළිබඳව තිබෙන
තත්ත්වය.
මම ඇස්කින් මේ පිටුව 184 185 මම ඔබතුමාට පෙන්වන්න කැමතියි. විශේෂයෙන්ම මේක ගැන අවධානය යොමු කරන්න කියලා ඔබතුමාට ඉල්ලනවා. මේක කියන්න දෙන්න.
ඔක කතා කරන්න බෑ කරුමා.
Send of legislative authority of parliament.
සභාපති පර්මාන්ත්‍රිතුමා.
Half a minute. Yeah, my point of order, honorable speaker. No, පොඩ්ඩක් කතා කරන්න දෙන්න. දයාසනි. Yeah, the last sentence of the honorable speaker's ruling is violation of the basic standing order. Separation of power does not exclude the parliament from setting out criteria for judicial officers. That's all I want to say.
Totally wrong, garu mantri tuma, garu mantri tuma, garu vipaksha nayaka tuma, garu vipaksha nayaka tuma,
merate parliamentary,
garu vipaksha nayaka tuma,
merate parliamentary,
ගරු විපක්ෂ නායකතුමා කියවන්නේ ඔබතුමාට මයික් එක දීලා
දෙන්න
honorable speaker
ලිපිලේ ගරු ඔබතුමාට මයික් එක දීලා තියෙන ඔබතුමා කතා කරන්නේ නැත්නම් මම මේ මයික් අයින් කරනවා
honorable speaker I won't in any way try to challenge the substance of your presentation but I would like to reiterate certain principles that we uphold in a democracy. Those principles involve the separation of powers of the three major branches of government. But in addition to that, each of those three branches are bestowed with powers to promote checks and balances within those three branches. Now, these three branches, they assume their powers through people's sovereignty. The Constitution specifically states that the executive, the legislature, the judiciary, the three major branches of powers which constitute the main elements of a democratic society, they shall exercise power through people's sovereignty. So people's sovereignty has provided through our constitutional provisions that judicial power, executive power, legislative power shall be carried out.
Please.
I said I'm not challenging. Please listen. I must congratulate you on the statement that you made. Of course, the author may be somebody else. I'm happy at the way that you have basically read out a statement authored by a third party. But anyway, be that as it may, it's very important to understand the primacy is people's sovereignty. The judiciary, the legislature, the executive, These three branches are provided. The legislature, which comprises of all 225 members, we derive it from people's sovereignty. The checks and balances are also a very important component of this process. So all I'm trying to tell you, Honorable Speaker, is the establishment. Honorable Speaker, I would like you to pay your fullest attention, Honorable Speaker. Yeah, why was the Constitutional Council established? The Constitutional Council was established to ensure that you have additional checks and balances to check the other branches of government. So similarly, the Parliament and this chamber and all of the members, we are bestowed with the responsibility to ensure that the people's sovereignty are protected. So we, our request to have a committee to examine, to promote, to protect the independence of the judiciary.
Honorable, we are trying to promote the independence of the judiciary. Official leader, honorable leader,
I'm going to finish, please. You mentioned about Montesquieu and various other authorities. But the basic fact is,
sovereignty of the people will rise and restoring the fundamental rights, the jurisdiction under the Article 126 of the Constitution. Read with the Article 17 of the Constitution, honorable member. Now I have to stop you.
I'll finish soon. Yeah, I'll finish. Just give me a few seconds, please. Yes. Few seconds of our time. So what I'm trying to say is, your decision is a derogation of people's sovereignty. It's a violation of people's sovereignty.
That is your opinion, honorable member.
Can I finish?
Yeah, please. You finish. I have given the 30 seconds.
I will finish.
You finish.
I'll finish. Just 60 seconds.
I
want to assert and specifically state that your decision, your utterance or your reading out of a memo sent by a third party is a complete and fundamental violation of the Sri Lankan Constitution, a violation of the people's sovereignty, a violation of the fundamental and human rights of the people.
තමන්ට කතා ලියන්න පඩිගෙවලක් තියන් ඉන්න කට්ටිය කතාව ලියා ගන්න. පඩිගෙවල කතා ලියන කට්ටිය තියන් ඉන්න කට්ටිය මෙවැනි ඉතාමත්ම බරපතල ව්‍යස්තදායක කරුණක් පිළිබඳව නීති උපදේශකයන්ගේ සහ නීති විශාරදයන්ගේ උපදෙස් ගන්න නැතුව මෙතෙන්ට කරුණ ඉදිරිපත් කිරීම හැල්ලුවට ලක් කරන එක මං හිතන්නේ දෛවයේ සරදම. කතාවක් කරගන්න බෑ හරියට ස්ක්‍රිප්ට් එකක් දුන්නේ නැත්තම්. නමුත් මේ වගේ විශේෂ දෙයක් අනිවාර්යනේ වශයෙන් බණ්ඩ බණ්ඩාරක මැතිතුමා වුණත් මමත් ඒ කතාව අහගෙන හිටිය අනුර බණ්ඩාරක මැතිතුමා එතුමාගේ නියෝග දෙනකොටත් ඒතුමා එක ඉදිරිපත් කළෙත් නීති විශාරදයන්ගේ උපදෙස් මත තමයි මම හිතන්නේ ඔබතුමා ගරු කතානායකතුමා වශයෙන් විවිධ නීති විශාරදයන්ගේ උපදෙස් අරගෙන ඔබතුමාගේත් අත්දැකීම් මත තමයි ඒක ඉදිරිපත් කරන්න ඕනේ නැතුව කතානායකතුමනි ඕනම කරුණක් සම්බන්ධව පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ කතානායකතුමා වශයෙන් අධ්‍යනය කළ ඉදිරිපත් කිරීම ගැන අපි ස්තුතිවන්ත වෙනවා. ඒ නිසා අපි කියන්න කැමති පාර්ලිමේන්තුව සතු බලය අපි පොඩ්ඩක් අත්හැරලු කරන්න බලාපොරොත්තු වෙන්නේ. නමුත් පාර්ලිමේන්තු බලය අනිත්ය වට අපි යොමු කරන්න දෙන්නේ නැහැ. අද පාර්ලිමේන්තුව සම්පූර්ණයෙන්ම අවුල් කිරීමේ අරමුණ තමයි ඔබතුමාලට තිබෙන්නේ.
විපලේකනාදී පිළිගැන්වීම ගරු අග්‍රාමාත්‍යතුමිය සහ අධ්‍යාපන උසස් අධ්‍යාපන සහ වෘත්ති අධ්‍යාපන අමාත්‍යතුමිය.
Honorable Speaker, I present the order made by the Minister of Finance, Planning and Economic Development under Section 19A of the Customs Ordinance, Chapter 235 as amended by the Customs Amendment Law No. 35 of 1974 and the Customs Amendment Act No. 83 of 1988 relating to customs import duty and published in the Gazette Extraordinary No. 2462/9 of 11th November 2025.
ගරු විදේශ කටයුතු විදේශ රැකියා සහ සංචාරක අමාත්‍යතුමා
ගරු කතානායකතුමනි රජයේ ගිණුම් පිළිබඳ කාර්යක සභාව විසින් පාර්ලිමේන්තුවට ඉදිරිපත් කරන ලද වාර්තාවේ සංචාරක අමාත්‍යංශය සම්බන්ධ කරුණු පිළිබඳව පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ ස්ථාවර නියෝග 119 හතර ප්‍රකාරව නිරීක්ෂණ සහ ගනු ලැබූ ක්‍රියාමාර්ග පිළිබඳ වාර්තා මම ඉදිරිපත් කරමි. මේ වාර්තාව රජයේ ගිණුම් පිළිබඳ කාර්යක සභාවට යොමු කළ යුතුයි මම යෝජනා කරමි.
ගරු කෘෂිකර්ම පස්සම්පත් සහ ඉඩම් සහ වාරිමාර්ග අමාත්‍යතුමා.
ගරු කතානායකතුමනි, 2024 වර්ෂය සඳහා හෙක්ටර් කොබ්බැකඩුව ගොවි කටයුතු පර්යේෂණ හා පුහුණු කිරීමේ ආයතනයේ වාර්ෂික වාර්තාව මම ඉදිරිපත් කරමි. මේ වාර්තාව පරිසරයේ කෘෂිකර්මය සහ සම්පත් තිරසාරත්වය පිළිබඳ ආංශික අධීක්ෂණ කාර්යක සභාවට යොමු කළ යුතුයි මම යෝජනා කරමි.
ගරු ඇවිලි සහ ප්‍රජා යටිතල පාසකම් අමාත්‍යතුමා.
කතානායකතුමනි, 2021 සහ 2022 වර්ෂ සඳහා තල් සංවර්ධන මණ්ඩලයේ වාර්ෂික වාර්තාව මම ඉදිරිපත් කරමි. මේ වාර්තා පරිසරයේ කෘෂිකර්මය සහ සම්පත් තිරසාරත්වය පිළිබඳ ආංශික අධීක්ෂණ කාර්යක සභාවට යොමු කළ යුතුයි මම යෝජනා කරමි.
ගරු වෙළඳ වාණිජ ආහාර සුරක්ෂිතතා සහ සම්ප්‍රකාර සංවර්ධන අමාත්‍යතුමා.
කතානායකතුමනි, 2023 වර්ෂය සඳහා වාණිජ දෙපාර්තමේන්තුවේ වාර්ෂික කාර්යසාධන වාර්තාව මම ඉදිරිපත් කරමි. මේ වාර්තාව පරිසරයේ කෘෂිකර්මය සහ සම්පත් තිරසාරත්වය පිළිබඳ ආංශික අධීක්ෂණ කාර්යක සභාවට යොමු කළ යුතුයි මම යෝජනා කරමි.
ගරු වරාය සහ සිවිල් ගුවන් සේවා අමාත්‍යතුමා.
අතර වර්ෂය සඳහා ගුවන්තොටුපළ හා ගුවන් සේවා ශ්‍රී ලංකා පුද්ගලික සමාගමේ වාර්ෂික වාර්තාව ඉදිරිපත් කරමි. මේ වාර්තාව යටිතල පහසුකම් සහ උපාය මාර්ගික සංවර්ධනය පිළිබඳ ආංශික අධීක්ෂණ කාර්යක සභාවට යොමු කළ යුතුයි මම යෝජනා කරමි.
ගරු නිවාස ඉදිකිරීම් සහ ජල සම්පාදන අමාත්‍යතුමා. සංවිධායකතුමා. ගරු නිවාස ඉදිකිරීම් සහ ජල සම්පාදන අමාත්‍යතුමා.
ගරු කතානායකතුමනි, නිවාස 2015 වර්ෂය සඳහා සීමා සහිත ලංකා ගොඩනැගිලි ද්‍රව්‍ය සංස්ථාවේ වාර්ෂික වාර්තාව, 2023 වර්ෂය සඳහා ඉදිකිරීම් කර්මාන්ත සංවර්ධන අධිකාරියේ වාර්ෂික වාර්තාව, 2024 වර්ෂය සඳහා ගොඩනැගිලි දෙපාර්තමේන්තුවේ වාර්ෂික කාර්යසාධන වාර්තාව සහ 2024 වර්ෂය සඳහා රජයේ කර්මාන්ත ශාලා දෙපාර්තමේන්තුවේ කාර්යසාධන වාර්තාව මම ඉදිරිපත් කරමි. මේ වාර්තා යටිතල පහසුකම් සහ උපාය මාර්ගික සංවර්ධනය පිළිබඳ ආංශික අධීක්ෂණ කාර්යක සභාවට යොමු කළ යුතුයි මම යෝජනා කරමි.
කාර්යක සභා වාර්තා පිළිගැන්වීම කම්කරු කටයුතු පිළිබඳ අමාත්‍යාංශයේ උපදේශක කාර්යක සභාවේ වාර්තාව, එම කාර්යක සභාවේ සභාපති ගරු පාර්ලිමේන්තු මන්ත්‍රී ආචාර්ය අනිල් ජයන්ත මහතා විසින් පිළිගැන්වීම.
ගරු කතානායකතුමනි, කම්කරු කටයුතු පිළිබඳ අමාත්‍යාංශයේ උපදේශක කාර්යක සභාවේ යොමු කරන ලද 129 වූ අධිකාරිය වූ සාපුසා කාර්යාලයේ සේවකයන් පිළිබඳ සේවය සහ වේතන විධිමත් කිරීමේ පනතේ 66 වෙනි වගන්තියේ යටතේ කම්කරු අමාත්‍යවරයා විසින් 2025 දෙසැම්බර් 12 වෙනි දින සාධන ලද නියෝගයේ සම්බන්ධයෙන් වූ එකී කාර්යක සභාවේ වාර්තාව මම ඉදිරිපත් කරමි.
පරිසරයේ කෘෂිකර්මය සහ සම්පත් තිරසාරත්වය පිළිබඳ ආංශික අධීක්ෂණ කාර්යක සභාවේ වාර්තාව, එම කාර්යක සභාවේ සභාපති වෙනුවෙන් එහි සමාජික ගරු පාලන මන්ත්‍රීනි MACS චතුරි ගංගානි මහත්මිය විසින් පිළිගැන්වීම.
ගරු කතානායකතුමනි, පරිසරයේ කෘෂිකර්මය සහ සම්පත් තිරසාරස පිළිබඳ ආංශික අධීක්ෂණ කාර්යක සභාව වෙත යොමු කරන ලද 2022 සහ 2023 වර්ෂ සඳහා ඉඩම් ප්‍රතිසංස්කරණ කමිෂන් සභාවේ වාර්ෂික වාර්තා, 2020-2021 සහ 2022-2023 වර්ෂ සඳහා සීමා සහිත කොළඹ කමර්ෂල් පොහොර සමාගමේ වාර්ෂික වාර්තා, 2020-2021 සහ 2021-2022 වර්ෂ සඳහා සීමා සහිත ලංකා පොහොර සමාගමේ වාර්ෂික වාර්තා, 2023 හා 2024 වර්ෂ සඳහා ශ්‍රී ලංකා මිනින්දෝරු දෙපාර්තමේන්තුවේ කාර්යසාධන වාර්තා, 2023 හා 2024 වර්ෂ සඳහා ඉඩම් හිමිකම් නිරවුල් කිරීමේ දෙපාර්තමේන්තුවේ කාර්යසාධන වාර්තා, 2023 හා 2024 වර්ෂ සඳහා ඉඩම් කොමසාරිස් ජෙනරල් දෙපාර්තමේන්තුවේ වාර්ෂික කාර්යසාධන වාර්තා, 2021-2022 හා 2023 වර්ෂ සඳහා කෘෂිකාර්මික හා ගොවිජන රක්ෂණ මණ්ඩලයේ වාර්ෂික වාර්තා සහ 2021 වර්ෂය සඳහා ඉංජිනේරුමය කාර්යයන් පිළිබඳ මධ්‍යම උපදේශක කාර්යාංශයේ වාර්ෂික වාර්තාව සම්බන්ධයෙන් වූ එකී කාර්යක සභාවේ වාර්තා මම ඉදිරිපත් කරමි.
ආර්ථික සංවර්ධන සහ අන්තර්ජාතික සම්බන්ධතා පිළිබඳ ආංශික අධීක්ෂණ කාර්යක සභාවේ වාර්තාව, එම කාර්යක සභාවේ සභාපති ගරු පාර්ලිමේන්තු මන්ත්‍රීනි නීතිඥ ලක්මාලි හේමචන්ද්‍ර මෙනිමිය විසින් පිළිගැන්වීම. ඒ වෙනුවට කන්දසාමි ප්‍රභු ගරු මන්ත්‍රීතුමා.
கௌரவ சபாநாயகர் அவர்களே, பொருளாதார அபிவிருத்தி மற்றும் சர்வதேச உறவுகள் பற்றிய துறைசார் மேற்பார்வை குழுவுக்கு சாட்டுப்படுத்தப்பட்ட 2023 மற்றும் 24 ஆண்டுக்கான முகாமைத்துவ சேவைகள் திணைக்களத்தின் செயலாற்றுக்கை அறிக்கைகள், 2023 மற்றும் 24 ஆண்டுக்கான வியாபார மற்றும் முதலீட்டு கொள்கை திணைக்களத்தின் செயலாற்று அறிக்கைகள் 2023 மற்றும் 2024 ஆண்டுக்கான முகாமைத்துவ கணக்காய்வு திணைக்களத்தின் செயலாற்றுகை அறிக்கைகள் 2023 மற்றும் 2024 ஆண்டுக்கான தகவல் தொழில்நுட்ப முகாமைத்துவ திணைக்களத்தின் செயலாற்றுகை அறிக்கைகள் 2023 மற்றும் 2024 ஆண்டுக்கான அரச கணக்குகள் திணைக்களத்தின் செயலாற்றுகை அறிக்கைகள் 2023 மற்றும் 2024 ஆண்டுக்கான சட்ட அலுவல்கள் திணைக்களத்தின் செயலாற்றுகை அறிக்கைகள் 2023 மற்றும் 2024 ஆண்டுக்கான கம்பட்ரோலர் ஜெனரல் அலுவலகத்தின் செயலாற்றுகை அறிக்கைகள் 2023 மற்றும் 2024 ஆண்டுக்கான திரைசேரி செயற்பாடுகள் திணைக்களத்தின் வருடாந்த செயலாற்றுகை அறிக்கைகள் 2023 மற்றும் 2024 ஆண்டுக்கான தேசிய வரவு செலவு திட்ட திணைக்களத்தின் செயலாற்றுகை அறிக்கைகள் மற்றும் 2023 மற்றும் 2024 ஆண்டுக்கான கருத்திட்ட முகாமைத்துவம் மற்றும் கண்காணிப்பு திணைக்களத்தின் வரலாந்த செயலாற்றுகை அறிக்கைகள் தொடர்பிலான அக்குழுவின் அறிக்கைகளை நான் சமர்ப்பிக்கின்றேன்.
மாஜன பேசாம் பிலிகனிம கரு பார்லிமெண்ட் மந்திரி ராமலிங்கம் சந்திரசேகர் மாதா.
கௌரவ சபாநாயகர் அவர்களே, பத்தனை ஜாயசேரிபுர இலக்கம் 64 வசிக்கும் எஸ் ஏ கந்தசாமி நாயுடு அவர்களால் கிடைக்கப்பெற்ற மனுவினை சமர்ப்பிக்கின்றேன்.
கரு பார்லிமெண்ட் மந்திரி அஜித் பி பெரா மகதா பெஸ்ஸா மகத்தராய்.
கௌரவ கதாநாயகத்துமணி, పూర్వదండ పెల్పిటిగూడ అంక 32 ఏ దికదారణ స్థానే పదించి జేడీ నెలూకా దిల్షాన్ మహత్మకి లభులు పెచ్చమద్ద వలగెదర గల్మత్త మెటియముళ్ళ అంక 274 ధారణ స్థానే పదించి కెవి రిద్మా సదరోని మహత్మకి లభులు పెచ్చమద్ద ఇంగిరియ మహాఇంగిరియ ఇమగిర జనపదే అంక 1002 ధారణ స్థానే పదించి హెచ్ఎం అనూషా ప్రియాంగణి మహత్మకి లభులు పెచ్చమక్ సహా వెల్మిల్ల హాందియ వెల్మిల్ల మైత్రిమావత పలంపటమగ అంక 152 ధారణ స్థానే పదించి డబ్ల్యూఆర్ నిశాన్సలా మహత్మకి లభులు పెచ్చమ పిలిగన్ను.
గారు పార్లమెంటు మంత్రి చానక మాదుగుడ మహత.
గారు కథానాయకుమని, గణేముళ్ళ కటువాముళ్ళ అంక 64 ధారణ స్థానే పదించి హెచ్ఆర్ చాందిని పీరిస్ మినియం లెబును పెస్సమ పిలిగన్నమి.
పెస్సం మహాజన పెస్సం పిలిబంత కారక సభావట యువకురు లెబే.